Amen. Well, I got a word to go along with this. I didn't realize it, but I got a word tonight to go along with this. So get your Bibles out. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Wow. Hebrews chapter 5. And verse 12. Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm going to read 14 again. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, so he's telling us what full age means. Doesn't mean maturity, doesn't mean gray hair. Those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Did y'all get that? Okay. Who by reason of use, do you know that the kingdom of God is like anything else? If you don't use it, you lose it. Right? If you never tell anybody your testimony, one day you're going to forget your testimony. If you don't tell anybody the Word of God, then someday you're going to forget the Word of God. If you don't, you know, it just happens. The things of God have to be used in order to grow in, right? But it says here you have to exercise, that you have their senses, the exercise to discern between good and evil. So the title of this message is Exercising Your Discernment. Okay? So now go to Matthew 16:3. Matthew 16:3. Let's read 2 first. So he answered and he said to him, he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. There is discernment in this world, okay, that's of a worldly nature. In other words, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you can look up at the sky and you can see what the clouds look like and you can say if it's going to rain tonight. There's people in this world that have, and I'm using discernment as the word tonight, but whether they know it or not, they have discernment to like look at the market, stock markets, or look at a company. I think that company is going to make it, or they have, you know, this looks like a good piece of property to buy, or, you know, I think that's where we should drill the well, or, you know what I'm saying? They have a discernment of just business. It's just a natural thing. They may have got it from their father. They may have got it from their education. They may have got it from being around people, other people that had it. It's just a discernment. It's just a natural situation, right? Now, some of that doesn't take a whole lot of sense, okay? You don't have to have a whole lot of understanding. Like let's just take what's going on in the Eagleford, right? To put a motel in Caesar Springs, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that it's going to stay booked, right? I mean, but it takes some discernment. It takes somebody to figure it all out and, you know, go through the process and do it. Somebody has to have the depth. Well, that's just all natural wisdom, okay? I find people all the time, and it always amazes me, like you find somebody that's like really loves old cars, and this person can just see an old car drive down and say, hey, you know, that's a certain model, of da-da-da-da. They only made so many of those. Well, how did he get that? Well, he learned it. You know, he didn't just go to sleep that night and boom, he had it, right? He studied, he learned, he went to car shows, he looked, he, you know, whatever. His whole life may have been all about that. Or you find somebody that, you know, whatever. I mean, even on a simple thing like me with carpentry. I've been around carpentry for so long, I walk into a building, the first thing I'm doing is I'm looking at the woodwork, and, well, they shouldn't have put that together like that. I mean, why did they do that? And look how they missed that joint over there. And they didn't go. I mean, I see these things, and nobody else sees it. But I see it because it is. Well, that's all just natural discernment, okay? And you can only get that wisdom by being around the worldly servant. But that's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about godly discernment. I'm talking the ability that God has, the potential in every one of us to discern what God is wanting to do for that moment. All right? Two times in the past week, I have gone into a certain restaurant to get a sandwich. No set times. No, like one time I actually thought I was going to beat the rush. So I went early. And a person walked up to the door at the same time I did and said, "Man, I was just thinking about you and how I'd like to buy you lunch." And I said, "Well, here I am. Come on in and buy me lunch." And then another time, it just happened today, that I was walking in and going to the same place, but I was like an hour later than I would have normally. So there's no pattern to this, is what I'm trying to say. People can't know that I'm walking into this place. And nobody really knows where I was at, but would know that I was walking this place at, you know, every day at 12 o'clock or something like that. And I was like an hour later, and I walk in, and I see these people coming, and I'm like, "Oh, I better hurry up and get in there before they get in here," because there was like five or six of them. And the person said, "Robert," and I turned around and looked, and I knew them. And they said, "Man, I was just in Utopia, and I was just thinking about you. And I was going to call you and see if you want to go have lunch." And then we had to leave Utopia, and I thought, "Oh, I'll just miss him." And there you were standing there. And I said, "Well, come on in and buy me lunch." And both times he talked about Jesus, and both times I had an encouraging word for him, and it, you know, just happened. Right? I didn't drive down the road that day, and God says, "Robert, you know, go at this time." Now, there's none of that. No hocus pocus, no anything. I'm just going about my day whenever, and God just makes it happen. Y'all with me? Okay. That kind of discernment, again, it you know, like I'm saying, I'll get into the third one here, but then the second part I'm talking about discerning, go to Acts chapter 2. It's a different kind of discernment. It's a discernment of what God is trying to do at that moment. And this is what we have to be good at. In Acts chapter 2, is when Peter, you know, the Holy Ghost falls and everybody's hearing, everybody's speaking in tongues, and they're declaring the wonderful works of God, and everybody's amazed, and some people are mocking. So there's this scene taking place. You got this part over here is rejoicing about God, and this part over here is complaining about what's going on. And verse 14, Peter had discernment right here. He said, Peter, standing up at the 11, raised his voice and said, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel." So in other words, Peter had a discernment at that moment. He looked around at the scene. He looked around at the crowd. He looked around at what was going on. And he says, "It's time to capitalize. And I know what the word is." You follow me? We need to be praying about this discernment. I'm going to show you in a minute how you exercise discernment. Exercise, like that ugly word we don't like. But Peter, he just saw the moment, saw what was going to happen, and then he stepped up for Jesus, and boom, 5,000 people got saved. That's what's going to happen. This is where we're going, folks. I'm telling you. I believe you'll be sitting in the sandwich shop eating a sandwich with your friend, and you'll be speaking about something, and then six or eight tables just get up and walk over and say, "Listen, I don't know what you're talking about, but you're talking about this, something about this Jesus, and we need some help. Can you help us?" And you're like, "Okay, what are y'all doing here?" It's going to be kind of freaky because you're not going to think, you know, you're thinking about, whoa, this is not normal. No, it's not normal. It's the moment. And so you seize the opportunity. Okay? I'll show you how to do that in just a minute. Y'all follow what I'm talking about? That's a completely different discernment than going and driving around, looking at the natural things and saying, you know, we could put a business here. We could do this, or we could. It's a completely different thing. All right? It's that all of a sudden, in a moment of you just being you, boom, you just notice, wait a minute, this is God, and you seize the moment. That's what's going to start happening. I don't know what you call it. You know, I could call it revival, but I don't like that word. It's just been used too much. But whatever this new thing is, this is what God's going to do. It's just all you have to do is capitalize on the moment. God's going to make the moment happen. You can't make it happen. You can't do it. That's why God's going to get all the glory. Because you can't say, well, look what I did. Because you didn't do nothing. What could Peter say right here? What did Peter do? He just showed up for church. He didn't do nothing. Matter of fact, they've been hiding in fear, and Peter was more guilty feeling than any of them. He was all messed up in his head and his thinking and whatever. He wasn't going over there as the big, I'm Peter, and upon this rock they're going to build the church. See, that's what I love about what God's about to do, because he's not interested in how good you are or what you can do. He just wants you to be available at that moment to seize the opportunity. Right? It's kind of like that time I've told you that story about being in Chile that time, and they were going to do that radio program. Went to this little old rinky-dink radio station. I mean, the thing was just dilapidated. And then wires hanging all out of the walls and everything. And they wanted me to go, going to speak. And I was thinking, I mean, what is this, like a CB radio in here or something, you know, or whatever. And I remember sitting down on the wall, and the guy was going to ask me some questions about what we were doing and why we were in Chile. And I was just kind of sitting there thinking, what, you know. And so chit-chat before we went on the air. Had this old dinky sign up that said, you know, on when it turned red when we were on the air, and we're just waiting for the light to click. And I said, how many people even can listen to this radio station? And I said, well, I think it's 2.5 million here at the station. And I was like, what? I'm about to say something in a microphone and there could be 2 million people hear me? What are you talking about, 2 million people? Oh, yes, it's the most popular radio station in this area. It goes to 2.5 million listeners. I'm like, what? And I just panicked. I was like, oh, my God. I'm not prepared for this. I mean, I was just really gotten down and really did some serious heavy praying before I got in here, but I knew I was going to speak to 2 million people. And I remember this is still small voice on the inside. It said, just tell them I love them. So I can do that. You know, I can do that. And so it's like, it's those moments. And see, God's not dependent upon us. He just wants to speak out of us. He just wants to use us. But he's not dependent on your great abilities, your great talents, your great knowledge to bring all this about. This is the time we're going into. It's a time that God is just going to make it happen. But we have to have the discernment to see God move like Peter did and say, ah, and then speak the word. Okay? So the third kind of discernment, you can find in Luke chapter 5, verse 22. Luke 5, verse 22 is when, like Jesus, he says, the scribes, let's read 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Can anyone forgive sins but God alone? Now Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? So in other words, this discernment was deeper than Peter just seeing what was happening at the moment. Jesus actually was looking into the hearts of the people and knew what they were thinking. Right? Now, you know, that's a gift of God, and there's nothing you can't make it happen, or, you know, work it or not work it, all right? That kind of discernment is just of the Holy Ghost, and that's it. So what I want to capitalize on tonight is number two, second one, about the thing that just happens, but we have enough wisdom at that moment to seize the opportunity, okay? Now, go to Hebrews chapter 4. I'll show you how you exercise your discernment. Y'all are going to laugh when I show you this. Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Now think about this. There is only one thing at that moment that you can do to exercise your discernment, and that is the amount of word that you have on the inside of you. Exercising discernment means you're taking in word. How did Jesus read and perceive their thoughts? He was the living word. Think about this. What did Peter do when he stepped up there and told everybody what was about to happen? He said, "Wait a minute. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel." In other words, he quoted scripture. He said, "No, this is what the word says. And the prophet Joel said this." Boom. 5,000 people get saved. The way you exercise your discernment, the way you exercise your senses to come into the discernment of what God's going on is directly related to the amount of word that you have in you. Now think about this, folks. Even myself, I'm a big word quoter. Okay, I am. I'm a bit of a freak. I will admit it. I'm not kind of normal in that sense because, you know, when I went through all the things of everybody telling me I had dyslexia and all this kind of stuff like this, the one thing that they helped me to capitalize on was what could I do very well. And what I can do very well is memorize. And so I memorize the word. Okay? It's hard for me to write notes. It's hard for me to write. And it's just easy for me to memorize. And that's not a gift that everybody has. But you know something? I can quote you the scripture and I tell you the scripture. But you know, when the scripture was written, it wasn't written book and verse. Think about this. Paul didn't say, "Oh, over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says," because Matthew 5, 16 wasn't written. They did quote the Old Testament. But they didn't quote it chapter and verse because there wasn't any chapters and verses to it. The Old Testament is written. It's written. All I'm trying to say to you is, it's what's in the word, the life that's in the word. If you said to somebody, "You know, Jesus loves you," as simple as that sounds, you just quoted John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." You see what I'm saying? I believe in the word. I believe it's important to have the word. I believe it's important to know where the word is, where it says it in the Bible. But the most important thing is that the spirit of the word that you're reading gets down on the inside of you, so you have the ability to tell somebody what the Bible says, what Jesus said, what it's not the Bible says, what Jesus said, what his word says, what is in that life. The life is in there and saying, "Be healed," because Jesus paid the price for you. It's at the moment that you've exercised your discernment because you're letting that word soak down on you because it's living and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can cut through the dividing asunders of everything. You see what I'm saying? It's the spirit of the word that's on the inside of you that at that moment, all of a sudden, whoop, just comes out. Now, I know with y'all I'm not getting on touchy ground, but the world is nuts right now. Okay? I think we all know that. And the world has gotten so messed up that it says that Tim Tebow kneeling in prayer is offensive. But two guys, NFL players, kissing is not offensive. Now, what is wrong with this picture? But you know what? Because we have word in us, we look at it and say, "What?" That's discernment. When you look at it and say, that is wrong. That is sick and wrong. That's not right. What's making you to have that discernment? The word on the inside you that's living, that's popping up saying, uh-uh. You know that, did y'all see this that happened with these, I don't even know what their names were, these two brothers that were going to do a home, flipping home deal, and they got in trouble because they went to some school or something and they were talking about, well, you know what I'm talking about? No. Yeah. And then they just, everybody's had a fit, and oh my God, I can't believe you said that. But what they said in all their deal, they said, well, what's going on in our public schools today is really a demonic. They used the word demonic. And everybody jumped on that word and just jumped up and said, what are you talking about, demonic? What do you mean, demonic? And they said, this is demonic. But it is. And nobody wants to, the world is getting so warped and twisted that their discernment level is nothing, because why? They've taken God out of everything. They've taken God out of the schools. They've taken God out of everything that's going on. They're trying to get God removed. Well, the more words you remove, the less true spiritual discernment you have. So we wonder, well, you know, we say, well, how could the world, how could they be so crazy? How could they be so, you know, and think like that? They don't have any word in them. And if they don't have any word in them, they have no discernment, because it's the only thing that can cut through the mess and say, that's wrong. And we look at it and say, what? What are you talking about? That's ridiculous. So the amount of words you have in you is directly proportional to how much discernment you have. So every time you see somebody that's just doing something completely ridiculous and saying ridiculous things, you just look at them and say, you have no word in you. I saw another article about Warren Buffett, that he'd given a huge amount of money to Planned Parenthood and everything for abortion. And the amount of, they figured it up, the amount of money he spent or he gave to Planned Parenthood and other abortion places, that it would have been the same. It's just, I guess they did the proportion rate to however much they charged a woman to have an abortion or whatever. It would have been 2.7 million children that he funded to be aborted. Now, how would you like to end up and stand before Jesus and know that you paid for 2.7 million abortions? Right? The man can't be that stupid. He's got an unbelievable, he's worth billions. He has natural discernment. He can read the signs of the times. He can look at the sky and tell when it's going to rain and how you're supposed to invest your money. He's got that discernment, but he doesn't have a bit of spiritual discernment, or otherwise he'd be just crying out before the throne of God day and night to try to get right. Are y'all with me? Okay, you find a person who's in condemnation. Let's just put it down to just what we live with every day. You find a person who's in condemnation, and they feel that God doesn't love them, and they've done too much wrong, and whatever. You know what's the reason why they don't have any discernment? They don't have enough word in them. So what are they going to take to get them to the place they need to be? More word. Where's it going to come from? You. Because you've exercised your discernment. You've exercised your level of word. So when you speak the word to them, it's going to be life going out. You know, this happens all the time. People come to church. They've never been here to church. And the ones that are hungry are like, this is the greatest place I've ever been in my life. Oh, my gosh. I felt the Spirit of God so much. It's unbelievable. And then when you spoke, it was just like amazing. And all I can say is, you're just really hungry. Because it's like this every week, and it's been like this every week for 20-plus years. It hasn't changed. I'm not that good. It's just anointed. Right? I mean, that's what it is. It's just anointed. You're just hearing the word. The word is going to you, because I will preach the word. I don't want to preach doctrine. I don't want to preach church politics. I want to preach the word. The word's the only thing that's going to cut through people's hearts and their lives and their problems. And when people come there to me and say, I said, if you only knew. I'm simply the donkey that's braying. That's it. I mean, that's a good one right there. You know, the donkey just going down with, what's his face? I can't even think. Shrek. Yeah, no. Just about like that. Balaam. The donkey that had Balaam on its back, and the donkey saw the angel, and Balaam couldn't see it. Why? Because he had his eyes fixed on dollars. His discernment was all on dollars and pride and pomp. But the donkey saw the angel. I've always said this with our kids and our grandchildren, that they'll come in our house and they look like up in the loft, and they'll look real funny, and then they'll smile and they'll laugh. Always, they all did. Titus still does it. He'd look up there and he'll just look up there and he'll just laugh. Da, da. And we look over there and we don't see anything. But I guarantee he's seeing angels. He's seeing something. And it's making him laugh, you know, or whatever. You know, kids see things like that all the time. And we just get too corrupted as we get older and we don't have the discernment anymore. But the only thing that we've got that we can have that we can exercise ourselves is the Word. And the principle of the Word and the spirit of the Word. So what I'm saying is you can't fit, well, I don't know the Bible that well. Folks, listen to me. If you know that Jesus loves you and you know he died on a cross and you know that his blood washed your sins away and you know you can ask God to forgive you and he will and you know that, you know, he doesn't want you condemned and he wants you, man, you know more than 90% of the world. But to exercise that discernment to where you get to say, this is a God moment, you got to put Word in you. You got to keep this living Word in you. You got to keep this thing. It's the most important thing. This Word going into you is what is going to give you life, and it's exercise without sweating. And I like exercise without sweating. Okay? So, If you're going to perceive the heart, the thoughts of and intents of men, that's just going to happen. That's just the Holy Ghost. But what he's wanting us to get on is the second one, just like Peter did, to say, this is the moment I see God moving. This is a God thing. You're with me? So, after tonight, start expecting this. Start expecting these moments that you're just like Peter, that you seize these opportunities that are there before you. And then when you see them, it'll change your life. Because it's going to change their life. Now, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you a little story right quick that Bethany told me about the orphanage that will really amaze you. Or maybe not. You know, we've got this group of girls that are in college right now. We have five girls that are going to college and two boys. And these girls have come out of the orphanage. You know, they were raised there. I don't know what ages they all started at in the orphanage, but they've all been there in the orphanage for years. And, you know, they probably were there as... I don't know. I'm taking a guess. They were there at around the age of 10, somewhere in there. Now they're going to college. And so they've been there, and we've put word in them, and loved them, and put word in them. And so they have this, they've started this group with those girls, and then incorporating some of the other older girls that if they want to be a part of the group, they can be a part of the group. Special meeting, you know, that they have with Andrew and Bethany, except they have to be willing to talk because a lot of the girls are so shy they won't speak. And it's like, okay, this is a no spectator section. You have to participate. You have to come into this thing, and you can join this group when you can stand up and you can say something and address everybody else. You don't care how much, but you have to say something. So that was what they used to force them to get out of their shyness, to be able to say something. So, in this time that they have with them, they minister to them, and, you know, more in depth than you could just a broad crowd. And it's not a whole lot of them. It's like 12 or 15 girls right now. And so, they were talking to the girls, and they begin to ask them, what speaks to your heart that really shows you love? Because they've all been abused, okay? And so, they all began to speak and tell them what it was. And they said, It's really nice when the groups come down here and you know, give us things. It's nice. But the only thing that really speaks to our heart is when people consistently come. When we see their faces over and over again. Because everybody always has told us things, but then they never followed through. And I thought to myself, isn't that amazing? The point of trying to speak to their heart and get them to know love, the only way it was to do was to show it, and the only way to show it was just to be consistently there. And so they said, well, who do you see this from? And they said, well, we, you know, of course, you know, y'all and Papa Ivan and Kimberly, and, you know, the ones we always see down here. And then Robert and the people that he brings in his church, because he's always been here. And I'm like, oh, my God, all those years, all the things I wanted to do, all the things I tried to do to get them to know that we loved them and cared about them, the only thing that really mattered was me showing up. And this, it's sort of like showing, it's God started showing me, see, stupid, it's not these other big things here, you know? If you would just be consistent, that's all I ever ask you to do. And I thought, how much we're impacting, this church is impacting those kids just because we're consistently there. The Living Waters House needs work on it. We got it done. You know, they need this, we're there. We go down there, we take people in there. We are working, we're sending people down there. And they see that, and they know that, and then they feel loved. And I thought, isn't that amazing? That's what broke the barrier. You know? It's so cool. It's so cool how God can do things. You know, I think Kim Bethany told the story about Suseli, the girl that has the problems with her skin. Didn't she tell that Sunday? No? You don't hear it? Okay. Suseli has a skin condition, and she's always had it, and it's like the skin is white, like she doesn't have pigment in her skin. I don't know what you call it. But so she has white spots around her face and up on her forehead, and her eyelashes are white. Okay? So her eyelashes, you know, I mean, the first thing you see when you look at her, you're like, wow, that's different, you know? And so when she got ready to go to this year to college, she was just blown away. She's like, oh, God, it's going to be horrible. They're going to tease me. It's going to be the worst day of my life. And so Bethany was just like, well, what do you want to do, Cecilia? We'll do anything for you. You know what? You know, we could get mascara. We could put mascara on your eyes, and we could do this. And, you know, if you want to do that, and we could do whatever you, you know, want to help you through this period. And so she was just like, every day was crying, thinking about, oh, God, I don't want to go to college, but I know I need to go to college, and I don't want to go to college, and, you know, and it's just going to be horrible. And so finally she said, she came in one day and she told Bethany, she said, I've just been praying, and I just am going to go as myself. I just am going to go as myself, and they either love me or they don't. So it was just like massive day of fasting and prayer. At the orphanage the day she went to school. It's like, you know, everybody says, oh, God. And so they just couldn't wait till she got home to see what had happened, you know, where she was. And they were all prepared if it was bad and whatever, you know. And so she comes back and she's got a big smile on her face. And they said, what happened? And she says, it was amazing. She said, I walked into the school and one girl said, oh, my gosh, where did you get that mascara? That is the greatest thing. Where can I buy white? Mascara. I want my eyes to be white like yours. And she said, well, it's not white. This is my natural eyes. And said, that is the coolest thing. And then she took her to the next friend and said, look how cool she is. And everything just went from one thing to the next. And then she became the cool girl in school. And everybody wants white mascara. Now, is that Jesus or what? Are you with me? It's just that situation. It looks bad. God just turns it a little bit, and it turns out to be glorious. It turns out to be glorious of what God can do. He's going to do that for each and every one of y'all. You're just going to be standing there, and you're going to have that wow moment of just saying, okay. And then you're just going to go for it. Amen? Everybody say, I'm going to go for it. Look at the person beside you and say, you better go for it.